Show with David Letterman. And a top 10 is presented by Governor Rick Perry, plus Paul Schaefer, and the CBS Orchestra. And now, king of unsocial media, David Letterman.
I like that, king of unsocial media. Sounds like our house every night at 10:35 p.m., doesn't it, Marianne?
Every single night, yes. I feel like it's almost bedtime.
And here he is, the announcer for the David Letterman Show on CBS, Alan Coulter. How you doing, Alan?
Hi, Alan.
Hello. Hello, Bob and Marianne. Good to talk to you.
Great to hear your voice, and we've been hearing it since 1995, is it, on that show?
Yeah, it's been a long time, 20 years. I wish it was 30, but what can you do?
Yeah, well, too bad it's not going to be 30. What are you going to do?
It has been just sensational. I'm thinking of trying to get a job at WGN Radio. Any help you can give me over there.
Come on over, yeah, for sure.
You guys sound so good. I'm sure there aren't any openings.
All right, let's back up a little bit first. You have done voiceover work, commercial work. You were the announcer on many game shows. How and why did you end up being the announcer for David Letterman?
Well, I was doing game shows when he went over to NBC the first time and did his late night show. And so I couldn't do anything about that. But when he was moving over to CBS, his people called and he called. And I had met him at Pyramid. I was the announcer for the last year and a half on Pyramid and when it was in the city with Dick Clark. And he was a guest on the show. And his producer had used me in a number of different network and off-network jobs over the last 10 years. So he asked if I'd be willing. And I went home that night because I did a lot of, I don't know, you're probably familiar with Real People commercials,
mm-hmm.
where the interviewer is off camera and he asks people about anything as a research project, and then we find out, hey, it's a commercial, and we use them on the air for Real People. Folgers Coffee and Dove Soap and Tylenol, Extra Strength Tylenol, a whole bunch of things. I used to do that for 25 years, and I kept myself off TV because I couldn't be the guy that they point to and say, hey, look who that is. That's a guy from television.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to be a researcher. So I wasn't sure I wanted the job. Yeah. And I went home and I told my daughters, who were in high school at the time, what I'd done and that I was probably going to turn it down. And my eldest daughter, who was a senior at the time, said, that is the very first thing you've ever done that was cool. Take it.
Good advice.
And I took it. I took it, and I'm very happy I did. I laugh every afternoon, and it's a joy just to work that show.
When you started there, were you straight out announcing, or were you, I mean, you? It seems like over the years you got a little kookier.
Actually, when I started there, I was told, you're not going to be on TV much, just as the last announcer, Bill Wendell, hadn't been on TV much. So I figured I was going to continue doing some of those Real People things when I had my weeks off. And I couldn't, because on day one, I was dressed in my best suit with my phone in my pocket, my beeper on my side, and my wallet in my pocket. And Dave said at the end of Act One, we'll be back, and we'll be back with the Olympic gold medal high diver who's diving into a pool on 53rd Street that Nike built for us. So we'll be back. Wait a minute. I've introduced you to our new announcer in the beginning of the show, but Alan, do you swim? And he came over, led me by the wrist to the pool, and told me to jump in. And I was swimming on my back in a pool on 53rd Street in my best suit with my wallet and my beeper and my phone and everything in my pocket, looking up at the cameraman on the roof going, so this is how it's going to be. And that was the end of anonymity, and that was the beginning of doing things in a wild and unusual way.
And the writers didn't give you a heads up on that one?
No, it wasn't written. Dave does just about everything extemporaneously. There's
Did they
very
replace
little planned outside of a top 10 and a monologue.
Did they replace your suit and your beeper and your phone?
Yeah. He was very good about that.
And tell us about the genesis of using you as a disgusting, revolting, embarrassing character on the show.
Who are you talking about, Bob? Who are you talking about? Well, whoever you're talking about, he's having a very good time. I don't know where the genesis came from. I do know that about 3 or 4 years into the show, there was a bit on where I had to knock somebody out. I don't know if it was Regis Philbin or one of the astronauts or a celebrity, but I got very mad, and for about 20 or 30 segments after that, Dave would look over at me and say, "What's the matter with you?" And I'd go, just a minute. I can't take this. I'm leaving."
Yeah.
And I'd leave, and then the camera would follow me outside to wherever this office was, and I'd open the door, and I'd knock somebody out. And about 30 segments into that, Dave said to the writers, "You know, he's never hit. Why don't we hit Alan?" And for another 30 or 40 segments, we used the same guy who was a stuntman. That guy came in and knocked me out in the middle of whatever I was talking about. So I don't know where these genesis, I don't know where it comes from. It's a lot in Dave's head.
And then when they come up with something, and many of these things like that are planned out and written, and you're going to be this despicable character on the show, have you ever balked at anything they've asked you to do?
Oh, yeah. My segment producer calls me up and says, "This is what we've got," and she reads it to me, and Nancy then says, and now Amy says, "What do you think of it?" And if there's something I don't like in it, they won't run it, or they'll change it, or they'll rewrite it, or they'll just take it off and write something else.
I'd like to know too.
What do you say no to?
You should see the things I turn down.
Like what? Like, give us an example.
Those have got to be great.
I don't even think I can say them on the air. I mean, they're just revolting and disgusting.
And many times you are swearing at Letterman, and in front of the audience there, they hear it and they react, and of course it's bleeped over the air. And I understand that Letterman actually writes most of those insults.
It's not that he writes them. He changes them if they're not vulgar enough or loud enough or mean enough or grating enough on him. It's really, he's in for the comedy. He doesn't care about being liked at the end of the segment. He cares that it's very funny. The man's a comedian. He's a perfectionist and a comedian, and the bits come off well.
Do you have a lot of exchange with him when you're not taping?
I have exchange on air with him and off air with him during commercials and with the producers, but there isn't much. By the time we go on the air, we know what we're going to do. I think that's why most of the people on Letterman are around for years and years and years. If they do the job the way they're supposed to do it, they stay. And thankfully, he likes what I do, and I've been around for a long time.
I was reading your bio, Alan, and for a little bit there, you taught high school. You taught English in high school. If the writers, do the writers know that? Because that conjures up all sorts of scenarios they could put you in. You know what I mean?
They've never used it, except there are many times before we actually use a spot where I'll find a grammatical error and bring it to the attention of the writers, and sometimes it's changed and sometimes it's not. And I'll tell you something, Dave does the very same thing. Hmm. We've redone a segment because Dave said, "You can't say that. Hmm. It doesn't sound right."
Wow, that's interesting. Let's get into more secrets of the David Letterman Show, The Late Show on CBS with Alan Coulter. We'll take a break.
I'll tell you anything.
And then we will open up the phone. Stu, if you have a question about The Letterman Show, Alan Coulter will be with us for a while at 312-981-7200. Hang on. I feel like the voice of The Late Show with David Letterman, Alan Coulter, should be reading the commercials this afternoon, not me. He's with us today, and I guess you're off because normally you'd be getting ready to tape at this hour, wouldn't you, Alan?
We would. We're on hiatus for the week. We'll be back on Monday with Martin Short, and it should be a great week of guests, as there are every week.
How much are you going to miss your unbelievably fun job?
Oh, my gosh, I'm going to miss it terribly. I was a Letterman fan way before I joined him. Grew up on Letterman and Paul Schaefer, and they are still, in my estimation, two geniuses that I love to listen to and watch and see how they act every day.
Well, you can still walk around the Ed Sullivan Theater and punch people if you like, I guess.
And I probably will. I'll go back there. I still have a key.
Does anybody?
I have to tell you, I love Chicago. My daughter, my youngest daughter, went to Northwestern, and I spent four years. She was able to graduate in 4 years in Chicago on the weekends. And when we went up, I always came in. Not only is the food great, but the people are fantastic. And we depend on you, you know, for weather. Here in the East Coast.
Yeah, I know.
We hear you've got weather, we're going to get it next.
We send it to you. You're a Brooklyn boy, aren't you?
Well, I am. I am. And we appreciate everything you're going to send this weekend, too. You got some nice, probably the last nice weekend we're going to have.
Yeah, that's right. Anybody know about the final show, what Dave's going to do, when it will be? No?
No, I have no idea. We're just hoping it extends as long as possible. We don't even feel on the show that it's like the end. We're doing every show and enjoying every show as if the same way that we always have. And I think that's a good thing. I hope that continues right up until the last day.
And
it doesn't leave you a lot of time for planning, but I don't know, what are your plans? I mean, what do you want to keep working after this is over?
It sounds so sad to say this. If I get the right offer, I've been very active for many years, and hopefully will continue to be active, and I will probably enjoy a little more time on the golf course when this ends. But it's been wonderful, and I will miss it.
CBS is going to retain ownership of the theater, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah, I think I saw that somewhere. Well, hey, how about the Alan Coulter show?
From your mouth.
I love that.
Let's take a call. This is Jim for Alan Coulter. Go ahead, Jim. Say hi.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, what's going on, Alan? I had a question for you about the musical guests. If you have any interaction with them, if you had any favorites over the years.
Any favorites? I'll tell you, when it gets into the thousands, I don't, Jim. I love the comedians that come on. I love the new comedians that come on, too. And the singers that we've got have really expanded my love of music. We've got some great people on the show every week. I really can't go back and say I love this person or that person.
Yeah, and it's Paul Shafu who really books those, right, Alan?
I think it's Paul and a group of other people. We have two or three others that are very responsible for getting the bookings on the show. Paul appreciates the music. You know how we judge a great band, how I judge a great band? When we have a guest band on that comes out and sets up, and during that commercial break before they're on, Paul is playing music, whatever song he's playing. The band that joins in at that time for those two or three or four or 5 minutes, I love that. That's phenomenal.
Does that happen often?
And sometimes we've got musical guests sitting in with Paul. He'll invite somebody in for the night, and we'll be playing his songs, 12, 13, 14 songs for the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater. And that's also a phenomenal thing.
Mm. Alan, Marianne and I have been fortunate enough to be at a taping of the Letterman Show. But for people who have not, what's the one thing they would be most surprised to see in person at the Ed Sullivan Theater?
My guess is the music. Again, they only get 5 or 6 seconds of music going into coming out of commercial, and that's all they hear. And many times Dave will say, hey, Felicia Collins, what a job, what a voice. Or Will Lee, what a voice. Or anybody in the horn section that's got a solo. Well, the home audience doesn't see that and doesn't hear that. When they hear it, they go out of the theater going, unbelievable, that is some sound.
That's really crazy. Is it possible to even for anybody to even at this point get tickets to go see the Letterman Show?
Absolutely.
It is?
Absolutely.
How do we do it? Because I want to see one last show.
Send a check to Alan Coulter, care of Late Show, 1697 Broadway, New York.
That sounds like
a check, more likely the possibility.
That sounds like one of the many things that makes me laugh hysterically on the Letterman Show, especially when they feature Alan Coulter. Let's get in one more call here. Hello, John.
Hey there. How's it going?
What's your question for Alan Coulter?
Alan, is that really Dave that runs across the stage at the beginning of each show?
Great question.
It is Dave that runs across.
Now the question is why.
Maybe a few more people will understand it. He says that way back when they started, he was supposed to come in from the other side, and he was always late getting to the other side, and didn't realize the camera got him running across so that he'd be able to make his entrance, and he just kept that up. So cool. It's him. If you look closely,
he is sort of pointing at his watch subtly and acknowledging someone behind the curtain back there. I've noticed.
Is that what he does when he turns his back to the audience coming out?
That he does that and many other things that we can't talk about on radio.
Thanks, John.
Alan. I have a question for you, Alan. Does your daughter still think you're cool?
No. there was a brief moment when I said, okay, I'll take the job, and the next day it was back to normal.
Yeah.
Okay.
It ends fast. Well, Alan, I know you're a seasoned professional. You're a great broadcaster, and you're familiar with stations around the country. You spent a little time in Chicago. I don't know what you've heard about WGN, but let me tell you something. They are too cheap to afford somebody like Alan Coulter. So while our recording equipment is rolling here, we're going to make you introduce Bob and Marianne on WGN Radio, and you look for that check in the mail, but not too closely. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I know what you mean. You guys have a great sound, and you do. You have a great show, and I wish you continued luck in it. And hopefully, we'll talk again in the future. I do have something to tell your listeners. It's based on what I do. I've been blessed with having this show for the last 20 years. I love it. And if there's anything I can tell young people, love what you do. Because the older you get, if you love what you do, you'll keep doing it. And you'll keep liking it, regardless of the money. Love what you do.
Yeah, then it's not work, right? Yeah.
It's not work. It's not work for me, and it's not work for you.
Marianne, Alan didn't pick up my hint, did he?
No, are you going to introduce us?
Wait a minute. Hold it.
Wait a minute, Alan.
Hold it. I'll give you a countdown. 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Chicago, the second greatest city in the world, it's Bob Surratt and Marianne Merciano.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Wow.
You know, Larry King did one of those for us, but you trump him big time.
Yeah, you did. You totally did.
Yeah. All right. All the best to you.
Thank you.
And Alan, really and truly, we watch all the time. I think I've watched every Letterman show since the daytime show. I enjoy Dave, and I've been lucky enough to interview him over the years, too. I'm a huge fan. But let me tell you something. You really make me laugh. You are really something. And keeping the straight face may be the funniest thing and the greatest thing you do.
Thank you, Bob. I really do appreciate it. Thank you, Marianne.
We wish you so much luck in your future. Thanks.
Hope to see you down the road. Take care.
We'll keep listening.